Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Things Therapy. I'm your host, Lisa Tahir. I'm a licensed clinical social worker practicing as an intuitive psychotherapist. You can find me online at NOLATherapy.com. It's the abbreviation for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy. You can go to that website and book in person, on location, phone, Skype, or FaceTime sessions with me. I welcome you to reach out and inquire about being a guest on this show or advertising on this show. And you can find archived episodes on YouTube, iTunes, and Google Play. So my guest today is Dani Rukin, and her clients include some really impressive organizations such as Google, UNICEF, the U.S. Federal Reserve, Goldman Sachs, NBC Universal, Rent the Runway, and Aveda, including others. And she is a certified and credentialed executive, career, and leadership coach. She's a speaker, a trainer, and founder of her business called The Success Catalyst. She has numerous online and in-person workshops and leadership-based trainings that we're going to talk to today, as well as a program that she rolled out in January of 2016 having to do with the five habits and her program to F the fear and have a great year. Welcome, Dani Rukin. Thank you for being with us today.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me. It's really my pleasure.
You're welcome. It's mine as well. I'm excited to talk to you because you are a certified and credentialed coach, and I'm a licensed psychotherapist. And I wondered if we could start by you sharing with us, you know, what's similar and different? What is the difference between coaching and therapy?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. And I would say, I mean, I think there's a lot of ways to answer that. And I think that one of the things about coaching is that I think it's very therapeutic, the process of coaching, but it's not therapy. And it's not therapy in the sense that, you know, as coaches, we don't treat mental illness. We don't treat severe issues. They're not in treatment at all. There's no treating anybody. There's no, you know, we're not dealing with trauma. And I think, you know, and as a coach, you know, I don't diagnose, I don't analyze, pathologize, any of those maybe traditional things that a therapist is licensed and trained to do. And then, of course, there are so many other ways to take therapy, which I think you're one of those types of therapists is about, and we can go into that. But I think as the traditional perspective goes, I think that's one of the biggest difference. And I think that, you know, if I could describe coaching, I think the best way to say it is that it revolves around the essential question of, do you want to be pulled by your future or driven by your past? Mm-hmm. And yes, and what I do a lot of is it's about creating the future that you want to be living into and then see what shows up in the present moment. And I think a lot of therapy in general, like at the beginning at least of the process, is like discovering how our past is influencing our present.
Right.
And as a coach, we're looking at how our future how our future is impacting our present. Because when we go for what we want, we're going to get what's in the way, and we can talk about limiting beliefs. And what's really cool is I think a lot of my clients, my favorite kind of client, or typically my ideal client is someone who they've usually been through therapy, so they really have had that. Yeah, I think they've really had that essential process that I think most of us, I mean, if you're living in this world, then you probably need therapy.
Yes.
You know, and I say that loosely because I know there's a lot of people who have, or there's some people I know who haven't and seemingly may, you know, seem, you know, pretty healthy. But I think for most of us, You know, it's, you know, we go through a lot. And I think also my own process is I had been in therapy for many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. Oh, let me put that on ice just to go back to
sure.
what I was saying about, my ideal client. Typically, they've already been through the process of therapy and the discovery of, you know, what happened and why they are the way they are and all the various things that have given them a level of awareness and self, you know, self, sense of self, recovery of self, so that our process then is, okay, now, what do you want to do with all this? And so I love to work. My favorite client is typically, they're very coachable, which I can talk a little bit about that. You probably know about that aspect, you know, when somebody comes and it's like, okay, fix me, or, you know, you show me, and, you know, and then I'll decide if I want to invest myself, rather than. My favorite kind of person to work with is all of us would feel is someone who's like, I am willing to take full responsibility mm-hmm. for my life, my right, my happiness,
and my happiness, my unhappiness.
My way.
Yeah.
My unhappiness, what's getting in the way, what's working, what's not working. And also that they've done some bit of work on themselves. I think that's what I'm getting back to, that they've done some bit of enough work on themselves, whether it's a combination of therapy, self-development programs. Maybe they've been through 12-step programs. I love that. I've been through many of those myself for years and years and years. So I love, it's almost like different languages and dialects. It's like, oh, you speak a 12-step, me too, you know? So it's like, we can go there. If they've done the forum, the landmark forum, that's always fun because I know what they got. Like, I know the basis. It's not that they are better than somebody else. We don't do those things, and that makes us better than people who haven't. It's just there's access to a communication. There's access to power that generally, if people haven't done some of that work, don't have. And sometimes a lot of my clients are that. You know, the ones who are referred to me, there's various, I would say millennials, where they may not, they often, and interesting enough, Lisa, and I'm sensing that you're probably similar. I'm very much, you know, spirituality. I know it's a very nebulous word, or it can be, right? But, I find that, generally the millennials I work with generally have not necessarily been through therapy, and they come from a different like world than we do.
Than we did, yeah.
Good or bad.
Yeah, it's just than we different.
Did. And it's just different. And so they typically don't have like a spiritual relationship, and they also have not necessarily done a lot of work on themselves. So it's a very interesting, they're very interesting to work with. And it's
it
not
like they're just kind of
like
right, you know. It sounds like they're just very ripe and open for, you know, to have a positive influence and to define these various areas of their life, begin defining them, kind of filling in those blanks. And I imagine you're helping them do that in your work.
I like that. You know, I like that perspective, and I needed to hear that because
good.
I think for me, I think that's really good for me to be reminded of, because I tend to thrive. I think, you know, we all know how we thrive in different ways, and I love it when people are just like, game on. I want to play my bigger game. I want to be the best version of myself. And I think a lot of times people come because of usually like a problem or an obstacle or a transition. I as a career coach, a lot of people come to me with career transition issues. You know, should I stay or should I go? Real common. And in fact, I want to do a program on that. Yeah. But so they come to us with a thing. They come to me often, like it's either, you know, a relationship, career, money, or weight, health, wellness. Those are not necessarily the things they come to me for. Most all of my clients come to me for career related issues or complete and total breakdown. Like they have everything in life, they have all these things on paper, but they're in total breakdown.
And they're not happy.
And they're not happy. That is a really common person that I deal with, and that really reminds me that you can have everything that you think you wanted and still be so disconnected from, you know, the true meaning of life and why, you know, what you're really here to do. And
How do you help someone like that? I find that interesting.
Yes, that's a great. I love how present you are and connected. And that's
thank you.
That's a great question. Yeah. Oh, thank you. That's a great question. Let's explore that one. So I think typically, I just had someone just the other day reach out to me, and we're going to get started next week. We're just like, game on, you know, and I said, game on, you've been asleep. And she knows that, you know, she's about to be 40 and she's got everything on paper, you know, the great job, the partner, the house, everything, lives in one of the best cities in the States. And, it's like she doesn't remember what makes her come alive. She's dialing it in. And that's another thing, is that she and most people are in work environments where in order to just get through and seem successful and professional, there's like this unspoken rule that you have to not be yourself. There's, you know, people are so afraid to risk being who they really are that we put, you know, we become these masks and these shells.
We become inauthentic.
We become inauthentic. And it's too, if you're right, and these environments do not encourage, just like our educational system does not. So from day one, we're typically not in environments that encourage our, you know, for us to express our uniqueness and for us to take risks and to take risks by, you know, sharing, you know, ideas that might not be popular or, you know, it's just more like the message is settle, fit in, tolerate, compromise, just don't get caught, don't get picked on, don't stand out. And
that resonates. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. It leads to unhappiness at some point because you're not really living, I think, fully engaged in your true self. You're kind of dimming it down, like numbing it out.
Yes. And that's another sign, right? That we're not living our truth is that, you know, we're going to die with the music still in us. That's another indicator. I say to people, yeah. And I think that, you know, again, we spend so much time, and then also we spend a lot of time blaming, you know, we get stuck in blaming and having an excuses because otherwise then it's very coaching is not for wimps, just like therapy is not for wusses, you know. Coaching isn't either, right? Because it's a lot about self-discovery and coaching. There's a viewpoint that I have. It's about forwarding the action and deepening the learning, right?
And can you talk to us about what that means?
Yes. Oh, you're so easy to talk to.
So are you.
I really appreciate this.
We could go two hours easily.
We really could. So I'm going to talk faster and faster. No, you can slow me down anytime. But
sure.
Yeah. So remind me, what was the question?
You just talked about.
And if you don't remember, I'll. Yeah.
No, say your phrase that it's about with people.
Forwarding the action and deepening the learning. You know, I've trained in a lot of things, and my real platform where I got certified in. I mean, I've trained in a lot of different things, right? Because as professionals, practitioners, I love to train in everything. So I have a lot of I just love to keep adding on this tool and that cool thing and this retreat and that.
Very,
you know.
Cool.
So that's great, right? But the basis of what I trained in is about co-active coaching. And the idea is that there's the co-part, which is the being part of us, and then there's the action part, you know, the doing. And I think in our culture, you know, there's a lot of like the mindset, and mindset is such a great word for you and I, right? We could take 10 hours and talk about that and the reframe. But the mindset typically is, you know, I'm going to do until I have what I think I want. And then I'll be the person that I know I can become.
Right.
And I think that really causes people a lot of pain and suffering. And I think that, you know, and I think I'm sure you and I will get into that whole, the self-talk aspect. You know, there's lots of names for it, and it's in every religion, philosophy, and, you know, to the time of man, that self-talk that we all have,
so
no matter, you know, what culture, where we, right? And so I think one of it, one of the voices that it blares at us is to convince us that an unmet goal, that we think we want is going to fix things and it's going to make things right. And it always keeps the promise of the way things could be just out of reach. And
wow.
Then we're not in the moment, right?
What you're saying is reminding me of when we talk about your five daily habits to F the fear and have a great year, the gratitude piece, you know, and being grateful for even I'm thinking where we are. So what you're saying, I think, is really poignant, thinking somewhere off in the future, when I have this or that, then I'll be happy.
Yes. And it's and I think it's one of the saddest things in the world, because as you and I both know from working with people and probably our own lives
and living our own lives,
it's not true.
Right.
It's simply not true. The possibility of real transformation and lasting change is about really connecting with, you know, what am I about? What makes me come alive? And that's how we met. You were at my The Magic of Living Your Life's Purpose talk.
At your talk, yeah, the Live Love Live conference at Catherine Gray put on in Los Angeles. That's where we met. When I heard you speak, yes.
Right, and so you're going to have to remind me what the nuggets were. I think what I was going to say something about in that talk that I mentioned.
You were talking about living your life purpose.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that if we're not, and it's not about like some big thing that's out there that's slipping and sliding around, and it's a life purpose, and where is it, and how do I find it? And I think it's something that it's something about the process of connecting with yourself and making the decision. I think the most important thing about living our lives is just making the decision and remaking it every single day that we're going to choose a life we love, that we're going to choose a life with meaning, that we're going to choose a life, a purpose-driven life. And once we make that decision and that we're going to choose to take 100% responsibility for our lives and for our happiness, and then once we make that decision and remake it and recommit to it and remind ourselves, of that commitment and why, and usually the why comes from, you know, bottoming out with something or feeling desperate, but you don't need to. Once you have a compelling purpose and a compelling reason, you don't need to then continue to feel like you're at bottom or desperate. You can just continue to nurture. There's lots of ways that you and I can talk about in another show, I'm sure, where of ways to nurture, to stay mindful of that which is really meaningful to us. But so what I was going to say is when we, you know, make that decision, then from there, then we can start asking ourselves, you know, the powerful questions that get us engaged in the meaningful conversation of, you know, what makes me come alive? What am I about? What breaks my heart? There's lots of questions you can ask yourself. And also it's when we ask ourselves, like, you know, what drives me crazy? What pisses me off? You know, we say, you know, to our clients, like, you know, don't get stuck in complaining. Of course, complaining doesn't work. It's bad. And, quote, bad. And, but if we get curious and we look at the complaints, it's like, I wonder, you know, what is it about that complaint? Like, oftentimes you can find some information from that complaint and actually create something from it. You know, it's a mind space about being generative, right? Does that make sense?
It does. And it reminds me, I love and for our listeners, Danny's website is dannyrukin.com, DannyRukin.com. And on your resource list, you have Pema Chodron's book, When Things Fall Apart. And I'm reminded of that right now as you're talking. It's one of my favorite books that I've read and reread. Mm. And she talks about, much like you're saying, you know, when a problem presents, when a disturbing or distressing emotion presents or situation, to ask, there's so much information there for us. If we ask, you know, what does this feeling have for us in sadness or loss? So I hear you saying that right now. Would that be accurate?
That would be, that's exactly, it's one wonderful way of putting it. And it's interesting when you say that, what I'm reminded of is we often see that any kind of challenge or obstacle or negative thought or circumstance that isn't preferable as it's an interruption. It's a surprise. It's not supposed to happen. And, and when we realize, right, when we realize that it's actually, it's a part of life, and it's not about trying to get rid of problems or obstacles. It's about, you know, up-leveling our game so that we're creating bigger problems and bigger challenges, right? More interesting challenges. And I think that a lot of people, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in the, you know, we've seen people where they get so caught up in the drama and that they create all this, oh my God, I work with so many companies where the drama and the politics and there's so much going on and so much dysfunction that they don't get a chance, a real meaningful chance to create and collaborate around real drama, like the drama of like let's make this, let's build this, let's create this together, let's get messy, let's get in here and have fun. And so back to what you're saying about Pema, that that when we look at these things as not as interruptions but of ways of informing us, like what's like you said, you know, I'll talk more about in the daily habits, the five daily habits to have a great year, about, you know, what's getting curious. And, you know, I did a retreat once with Pema up in upstate New York. Oh, my God, yeah. And she,
how was
she's
that?
She's just so adorable. It was fantastic. I mean, it's just healing being in the same, like, you know, stratosphere as her, because she really does live. She really lives it. And as you may know, you know, her story is very interesting because, you know, she had to hit, right, her own personal
with her
bottom.
Divorce.
And that's right. And that led her to, you know, becoming a Buddhist monk and becoming all that she is for so many of us. And I remember when I got there on a Thursday, and I got there early to, like, you know, really, I was living in New York City, so I took the train up to upstate New York, got myself all situated, and then I went for my, you know, calming walk in the woods.
Yeah.
And then I swear to God, it was like a little gnome, but this little person with a shaved head, this woman, in the robes and the gold and red or whatever those, you know, those colors of her robes, and was just walking in the woods. And I said, and you know how some people are like this with like celebrities or movie stars.
Yeah.
I could really not care a bit. It's always the people who are in the sphere, the realm of what areas that matter to me the most that become like, I'm like, oh my God, that's, I think that's Pema. And I said, excuse me, but are you Pema? And she goes, yes, I am. And it was just really cute.
Oh, that's adorable.
Because it's just, it's adorable.
Special.
And you know, just being in, just being in her presence is so healing. And everybody, we all come to these places, you know, when you go to those retreats, it's like our drama is so important and so serious and it's so intense and life is so intense and it's a struggle. And then you really, she just, you know, her or any of these situations, when you really look at it, it's like, it's like, you know, chill out. It really is not that serious.
Important. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What's
so you help
is,
you help your clients see what is important, which continue, please.
Yes. And that's actually, you're bringing me to a good point. You know, there I created the program about a year and a half ago. I launched it in January of 2016 for the new year. F the fear and make it a great year. And that whole, it was very intentional, like, you know, F it. And
F
we'll
it,
talk
yeah.
about that because I know. Yeah, yeah. And then make it a great year, because I didn't want to say, you know, make it a great year means like you make it. It's not going to just happen to you. You know, the power of intention, it just doesn't just happen. You have to actually be that which you want to create. So so there was that. And then the five daily habits go along with that. Once you've done the program, it's, you know, the five daily habits of effing the fear and having a great year. So now you can have your year with the habits in conjunction with having, you know, making it. So yeah, so the idea is it's for anyone. Oh, I wanted to tell you that it originated back in when I was living in Los Angeles.
Okay.
another a colleague of mine, Rona Barron, she's also an amazing coach. We co-designed and then co-facilitated a program we called F the Fear and Do It Anyway. And okay. We were looking for, like, why do we want, you know, we knew we wanted to partner. We knew we wanted to, like, just really, like, do something cool and amazing and make a difference.
Yeah.
And we came up with F the Fear and Do It Anyway because it was so real. It was so real for our clients. It was just like, it was constantly coming up, like, oh, I don't know. I'm so scared. I don't know. And I'm so afraid. And why is it da, da, da? But I'm going to do it anyway. And so it was that. I noticed that in my clients all the time. And then the other thing is that it shows up in my life all the time. I mean, like, if I had to patch the few badges I would put on my chest, and one of them would be,
right.
You know, I'm gonna do it anyway. Like, what's the alternative, right?
I mean, and that's what courage is.
We always have
feeling fear and doing it anyway, moving through the fear, yes. Transforming it.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Courage. And like you said, so the F's of, you know, feeling it and facing it. So, yeah, the F part is the obvious, you know, what we know, the word, you know. So there's that, because that's like a bold, that's like just F it. I'm doing it, right? And then there's also, right, the deeper experience of it. Okay, here it is. Here you are. You know, we can even personify it. It's not about, you know, we didn't call a program, you know, get rid of the fear and do it anyway.
Right.
If you wait for the fear to go away, right? You know that.
You can face it. You can, I'm thinking of other, facing the fear. What other word have people used?
You came up with forget, and I had not thought about that, and I like that. Because it's kind of like, you know, once you face it, once you've had your little talk with it, once you've, like, given it a little place at the table or whatever you're doing with it, it's just like, okay, can we just forget it for a minute and go do that thing that we've been saying we're going to do for 5 years, you know, right?
Right. Right.
So you added another
it.
One.
Fuck
I had not
the fear
thought
and go.
About forget.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And do it. So, yeah. And I think
more.
We originally started that. Say it again.
Yeah. I wonder if you could tell us more about that and your five daily habits that I think are really cool.
Yes. Totally. Thanks. So before I get to that, when Rona and I had originally started F the Fear and Do It Anyway, we were really, like, we wanted to let people know whether, and in LA, you know, these could be, you know, executive producers, all kinds of, you know, in the entertainment industry, no matter where they came from, it was always the same. They were still dealing with the same thing, you know, whether it was imposter syndrome, or there's a lot of that in LA. As you know, well, there's a lot of that in the tech industry. I deal with a lot of tech people. It's amazing how prevalent it is, and particularly with women. But the program we designed, we were like, it was for anyone who's tired of fear calling the shots. And if you feel like fear is keeping you from taking risks and going for what you want, and you're afraid of dying with the music still in you, then you better get off your butt and you know, start asking yourself, you know, what does effing the fear and doing it anyway look like? And by the way, when I get stuck, one of the exercises that I do with myself is I ask myself, you know, if I weren't afraid, what would I be doing?
Oh, I like that.
Afraid. Isn't that good?
Thank you for
because
that.
So
I like
easy
that.
To get, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so
what
easy to get
do?
Caught up in it, and yeah, what would I be doing if I weren't afraid? And then, you know, people can ask themselves right now if they're listening, you know, if I weren't afraid, and you can look in the various areas of your life, and this is actually segueing to the you know, the first part of it's a 5-module course, F the Fear and Make It a Great Year, and you can do it at any time. I'm actually going to make it available on a new platform, probably in a couple of weeks, very shortly, because right about now, way before now, you know, people have pretty much given up on their goals for the new year. You know, there's never a bad time to start, you know, making that happen, because I think what people do a lot is they, you know, they get all very excited about the new year and what they think is going to happen, and then it doesn't really happen. It's like, you know, they start out like, I'm great, this is great.
Mm-hmm. And then end up feeling,
like,
the same way.
Sucks, I suck. Yeah, yeah. This sucks, I suck it. Yeah. I think that's Brene Brown. I think she says at the beginning of the year, you know, you go, I'm awesome, I'm great. And then it's just like, this is great. And then it's just like, this sucks, I suck, and then done. And then, So it's something that we can do anytime, but it's a 5-module course. And circling back to what you were asking me in terms of looking into the various areas of your life, the first thing we do is just sort of, you just start to establish, where am I now, in the various areas of my life that are important to me. And obviously the top areas are career, relationship, money, health. Those are, I think, generally speaking, are the top sort of issues that people, they want more of or they want less of, right? But there's other areas, right? Like, how are you having fun? Is there any, what are you doing? And, how's your creative life, your personal growth? I mean, there's so many different, areas. But to just focus on an area and think about, where am I on a scale of 1 to 10? What is my current level of satisfaction? And so if it's with your career, which is what I deal mostly with people, but, it turns out, our career is just a gateway to our life. It's where people are spending so much time, and it's a great place to work with, and it so connects with, being an expression of our purpose, where we're showing up all day. So you rate your current level of satisfaction on a scale of 1 to 10, and you just acknowledge, this is where I am. So if it's a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being this sucks, shoot me now.
Yeah.
Or, 10 being, this is so amazing, I can't even take it. Stop. It's too much. Mm-hmm. Right. And so if it's a 5, you want to ask yourself, okay, it's a 5. And, what makes it a 5? Like, what am I, what is going well? And what am I doing that it's not a 4 or 3 or 2 or 1, right?
Okay, and I like that. Then, so a strengths perspective, right? Like you talk about in your work.
Totally. Remind me, I could also say, I could also, if we have time, mention a little bit about my own experience, if we have 2 minutes at another time.
I'd love to know. Yeah.
Of my experience with the therapy coaching overlap, what actually happened for me, because I think that would be important, because I forgot about it until recently when I was thinking about, coming on your show. Mm-hmm. And so it reminded me, which was really awesome. But so just coming back to, you articulate to yourself where you are with one particular area, and then you imagine, what would a 10 look like? And you just really get yourself resonating with, best case scenario, right? And this is where the strengths based, and what's best case scenario? And then from there, if people want to take this utilize it as a tool, usually when we, what's best case scenario, that's awesome. And you want to get resonating with it. And why, what would my life look like, by the end of this year, because we're already at April. So you can even ask yourself, in this one area, there's where I am now and there's where I want to be. And you can even start to have yourself imagine, at the end, December 2017, not too far away, what is it that I'd like to have happen?
Okay.
And just really allow yourself, the power of imagination and visioning.
Visualization.
What is it? Yes. And in your mind's eye, because everything happens, twice. First in mind,
like,
and
that.
Then in kind.
Yes. Yes.
So once you really get a sense of, what that best case scenario looks like at the end of the year, just imagine that it's already happened. Because, the mind doesn't know the difference between something
right.
that's actually happening versus something, right?
Which is so incredible.
It's pretty phenomenal. It really
it's
is.
It's so powerful that it's hard to even really believe in some moments for me. But it's true. Like, there are little glimpses, that I think that I get, that others might get, where you might even believe one thing and then something else is true. But being able to manifest.
It's so true. Yes, not whatever. I totally, it's exactly true. And I think the more I live, the more I realize that it's, that I'm experiencing the truth of it. And and then once you get a sense of what that 10 would look like at the end of the year, ask yourself, if I knew that this was going to be happening, if I knew that I was going to be happy in my career, if I was going to have an amazing relationship, the right relationship, you know, what would I be doing now in the meantime? You know, what would I be doing? What would I, and what would I be experiencing and what would I be feeling? And just allow yourself to create that space for yourself, because I think people get really, like we were talking about, so focused on the goal and the end. And it's like, well, who we're being while we're going for what we want is who we're going to be when we get there. So, you know, what makes you think you're going to be happy when you get that thing if you're so unhappy now? And I know you're going to love this because I'm sure you've had your own way of saying it. But if there's something we really want, and if we're not at that level of vibration or resonance, it's not even going to either, A, we're not going to recognize it when it comes,
yeah,
or B, it's not going to recognize us, because we're, you know, everybody says, you know, they want the, you know, like sometimes when, you know, I have a client who says, I want my man to be, you know, tall, dark, and handsome, and he's amazing, and he's ambitious, yet he's loving, and he's sensitive, yet he's strong, and he's this, and he's that. And I'm like, okay, what do you bring to the table?
Yes, that's
why
what
would
I was just...
I'd be interested in you.
Right, I knew you were going to ask her that. Yes, absolutely.
Right?
How important that is, the other side of it. Who we are being
right.
in the
and
world.
I think a lot of... Yeah, exactly. Who we're being, because I think a lot of times we want life to bring us all these amazing things or what we think is amazing, and then we'll be that which is the equivalent of it. And it doesn't work that way, right? It's about just showing up. It's an inside job. It's about everything that you want more of, be more of, do more of, give more of. You know, asking yourself the powerful questions, you know, how can I be of service here? How can I add value? How am I, you know, how is my, you know, when we're living our best lives? And again, this is another thing you'll really appreciate, and I know that you are about, which is, it's not about trying to get it right. It's not about being perfect, right? It's so not about that. It's about the wholeheartedness that Brené Brown talks about. Various people talk about it with different wording, but it really is about, you know, the wholehearted journey. It's not about being perfect. And I try to get that into people's heads.
So this
and
is where,
you
know, I think
funny
you...
because I do, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Go first, then I'll say.
No, you,
you want to go first. I was going to say, this is where I think as a coach, you can be really effective in that, mm-hmm. and kind of redirecting the direction of one's thoughts. Even when you were talking about, say, you know, you take the four areas, career, relationship, finances, and health, put it on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, and say I put a 5 mm-hmm. at one of those areas, but I never would think, mm-hmm. you know, like how you took it, like, wow, you're not a 1, 2, 3, or 4. That's great. You know, how come you're not? Like, that's just such a great reframe. So I think that's what differentiates coaching, I think, in a profound way, is that you're looking at these things like you are looking at the past, but in such a sense to bring more meaning, bring more definition, bring more refinement towards the future, which feels different to me than mm-hmm. therapy in a nice way.
That's a good, that's a good point. And it's like, what is going well? You know, what is working? Because we're so, you know, conditioned to like what's not going well, what's not working. And when we focus on that, if we're too focused on that, then we get stuck in blame, expectation, self-blame, beating ourselves up. And we can't create from that space of...
Right.
The vibrations you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right. Right. We can't. There's no creativity. There's no juice. There's no connection to ourselves, real connection to our real selves. And there's no... When we're focusing on what's wrong, as if there's... You know, I mean, everybody's walking around, you know, unless you have some serious, you know, illness, and there's gradations, and this is where, you know, you could school me for hours, days, weeks, months, years on you know, the deep psychology of it. But I think, you know, in various ways, we're all kind of cray.
we're all kind of cray.
But what I wanted to say about what you said is, going back to when I was in therapy, so I was in therapy for a lot of years, and I've had some amazing therapists, and I'm probably here and alive because of them. And it's just I think I started therapy, you know, on and off in my teens, then just got really, you know, gung-ho in my, like, 20. Like, it was just really a big part of my life and so important, so important.
Yes.
And then what happened for me in my 40s is I discovered coaching, and that's an interesting story in itself, but I discovered coaching, and then I hired a coach because I was then training to be one. So, and I know so many coaches who don't have coaches, and I've had the same coach for almost 10 years. And
that's great.
It's a very powerful relationship. But what I remember is while I was in training, you had to get a coach. And I think the first year I had a few different coaches because I was trying out, you know, what kind, you know, there's different fits for everybody. And then once I landed with my current coach, who's amazing, Janine Mancusi, I'm not afraid to say it. She's just incredible. She's just, you know, I could cry when I think about how meaningful this relationship has been for me. But I was in therapy still. This was back in New York City. And we weren't even, you know, Janine lives in California, in the middle of nowhere in California. So in Grass Valley. So it was never even in person. And I eventually actually met her at a big, awesome conference in the Adirondacks years later. And since then, we've seen each other a good several times. But my point is, I was in therapy in New York City, you know, in person with my therapist, and then this new relationship with Janine unfolded. And I started to, they overlapped for about a year. And for me, and I had already had many, many years of therapy with various therapists, so at that point, I realized I was growing so exponentially at that point in my life from the coaching, and I go into my therapist's office, and again, I've been doing it for so long, it just felt like, I always felt deflated when I went in, like we were focusing on what's wrong, and every time I was with my coach, like I flourished. So for me, at that time, by the time I was in my 40s, for me at that time, it was time for me to transition from a different mindset. And it's like, wow, well, I feel good about myself. And from this place, I get to, you know, create, well, I'm going to put my money on this, you know, that kind of experience.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to invest in that for yourself.
Totally. And therapists can have coaches and coaches can have therapists and we can, you know, I mean, the beauty of it is, and a lot of therapists are like you, I think are, you know, I don't want to say what you are, but my sense is you also incorporate, you know, the future forward type thing. So I think there's a lot of room for it becoming, yeah.
When it sounds like what I hear you say about your journey of personal growth and discovery, you know, entering therapy as a young person as I did as well, and then becoming a social worker, getting my master's in social work, and for you getting certified in coaching, and I'm imagining that your work with your clients has evolved as your personal self has evolved, you know, and as my work, you know, as I've resolved things and moved on to, you know, higher levels of assimilation and incorporating meditation now in the last year. And, you know, the benefit is I feel like I get better as I get healthier, you know, my clients, I'm able to pass that on. It sounds like in your work too, how it's such a beautiful, like interconnected experience of this healing journey of our personal selves and then what we're able to offer to others. Would you agree with that or?
Yes. Yeah, that's an interesting, I would love to have a bigger conversation around that, but in short, yes, I would agree.
Yeah.
And it's, it's interesting. And I think also what makes a really good coach, and I think this is to what you're saying, is what we're doing with our clients is, you know, that deep listening and that asking the right questions and being genuinely curious and knowing which tools and techniques to use to empower each person and then being committed to their success and believing in them and really partnering with them, all those qualities, like you're saying, those are the things that we need to be doing with ourselves because our relationship with ourselves is the most important thing. That is what it's all about. And we can't be doing that skillfully or masterfully with others if our relationship with ourselves is all wonky. And what do you think about that? Like the whole idea, like our relationship with ourselves is the most important thing. And then like our relationship to money or food, whether it's overeating, those are gateways to
directly,
our relationship
yes.
with ourselves.
You know what
Does
I'm thinking too? it makes perfect sense. And I agree with you. And then thinking the piece about giving back, which is important to you. I know that you're a very active animal rights person and a vegan, and you volunteer, you know, at assisted living facilities with the elderly. And, you know, just I wonder if you could say some about that. And we still have about 6 minutes, but I always ask my guests what they want to leave, what they want to be known for and give back. So if you can kind of take it in any of those directions before we are finished today.
Wow. That's, so yeah, I am, I'm a vegan and an animal rights activist. And if you had told me about a year and a half ago that this is what I would be doing, that I would, A, be living vegan, that I would actually have given up the 99.9% of the foods I loved, more what I thought more than life itself, because I was, I was a big foodie. If you had told me a year and a half ago that, that not only was I going to give up eating all of those things, you know, meat, every kind of meat, fish, dairy, and all that, eggs, I would have told you, you've got the wrong person, you're out of your mind. And this is like proof that, you know, transformation, and not like I was, you know, I got better, because, you know, be, you know, as we evolve and transform, it's not about being better, because I just didn't know that that was in my, I didn't know. What I did know about myself is that compassion and my values, and we haven't even mentioned the V word, right? But we could do so many more talks about values, because, you know, what I do did know about myself then was that I was a compassionate person, that I that I had, you know, that deeply empathetic and deeply connected my values. My biggest value probably is we're in this together. We're in this together. Like, we're all one. We're all connected. That's why when we're judging others or we're putting, you know, it's the same, whether we're judging ourselves or criticizing ourselves or others, it's all the same. So when I realize, and one of my biggest values is I've always had a, you know, a soft spot for the underdog, those who are the most vulnerable, those who are like, a when a bully is beating up that kid, or when that kid was alone at school, I was always in tune with that kid who was alone. I was always, all throughout my life, the most important, just naturally, it was whoever was being, you know, rejected or hurt or alone or abandoned. And and those were, and even before I became, you know, quote, healed or in my healing process, even before I was able to self-soothe and not self-abandon and all the things, I really could, you know, be that person for other people. And so the short of it is that when I realized what was being done to animals, it was so profoundly, I mean, we all know kind of sort of what's being done, but you don't really know. And I'm specifically right now talking about the eating of animals.
Yes, and how they're treated. I've been learning more recently, because it's so hidden and it's horrible the way animals are treated.
Yes, and there's the reason why it's hidden is because it's absolutely horrific. And the things that we do to them, I mean, you know, when you think about your cat or your dog, like just when we accidentally like step on their paw or something and they, you know, they scream bloody murder. Imagine they're no different from the animals that are being slaughtered for food, whether it's pigs, cows, chickens, turkeys, goats, sheep, whatever. And so what I want to say about that is when I realized, when I really got that, and by the way, people can go to thedaringvegan.com, and that's where I live. When and they're so melded together now for me. You know, coaching is about, for me, it's leadership. It's taking ownership about, you know, direction of my life and creating the. So as it evolved, when that showed up, the point of this is that when that issue of animal cruelty showed up in my life, because I was the person I was and I had cultivated myself, I was able to hear the call. I was able to see with my eyes, see with my heart, see with my whole being that this was important beyond. It was the most important thing in the world, because how we think we're going to create peace on earth with all that we've got going on and this, and everything, you know, the toxicity in this country and all over the world and all of it, we can go on and on. If we think that we're going to be able to create peace on earth while we're doing what we're doing to other sentient beings, that, it's not about whether they can reason like us and have this kind of conversation that you are. It doesn't matter whether a pig or a dog or a chicken can have the conversation we're having. That's just, that's not the question that should be asked about what we're doing to them. It's, can they feel, not can they reason?
So and they have emotions and intuition. Yeah.
And intuition, which is what you do, your intuitive work, and I do. And they have families and they have friends and they're taken from their mothers. The dairy industry is one of the most horrific and cruel. But what I also want to say about that is so the person I was able, when that information came to me, was able to not give the excuses. I didn't need to know what I was going to eat. I just was like, I'll eat cardboard before I eat another animal.
Wow.
The person who 2 seconds before said, I can't go a day without dairy or my cheeseburgers or my this's or my that, all my, you know, all the things that if it had an animal in it and it was, you know, either fried or seasoned or whatever, I was there. But all that shifted. That said, I've never eaten better. I eat all the wonderful things. You can veganize anything. But the other piece is that it wasn't enough for me to go vegan. I then, in terms of you just asked the legacy question, I don't know, quote, the answer to it. But what I will say is that it was not enough for me to go vegan. And again, possibly because of who I had already been becoming for, you know, 56 years now at this point.
Yeah.
It was easy for me. It took me 2 seconds to become an activist. I didn't know what I was doing, and I learned. And the vegan and the animal abuse, it was just learning, which is a huge value for me. So I was immersed. It was like learning. You know, I just could not get enough. I still can't. I do a lot of studying and reading and learning from people who know more. And my activism was like, okay, so please teach me, you know, what. And so my life has been doing, my life's work is, now if, and in terms of life purpose, if animals were, if tomorrow every animal on this earth was finally, we stopped harming them, humans are the greatest, you know, source of their pain and suffering. If we stopped harming all of them, in every way, shape, and form, then okay, would I be out of a quote job? Would I be out of a purpose? No, because then my purpose would be continue to, you know, do what I'm doing from that compassion and being a catalyst to wake people up to who they really are. Because really, it's not about the animals. It's about consciousness. It's about waking people up to who they really are, to who they really are, the deeper truth of who they are. And myself, waking myself up, because we fall asleep and then we wake up. And my job in this world is to wake us up. So it's not about the animals. It's about waking other people up to their compassion, to their kindness, to their to
compassion
justice,
itself.
To love. And when we do that, we will then we'll be healing. And that's, and so again, if all animals were free tomorrow, it's really continues, because it, quote, never really was about the animals anyway. And I don't mean it's not about the animals. I think they're superior to us in so many ways, because they don't create all that we create, and they're just so, like you said, intuitive and just so filled with, you know, they don't hold on to resentment, they don't judge, they don't have, you know, we're just different than them, right? We're not better or worse. It's just different. So
Danny,
yeah,
so I'm going to jump in.
I'm going to jump in
because I'd love to have you back on the show in August, because our conversation is not nearly done. If you'd be okay with that, can we schedule a second episode in August to keep talking?
On. Yes.
And then I'd love for you to let you know. And great. How can potential clients reach you to schedule with you and learn more?
Sure. So just in terms of the veganism, the daringvegan.com is where people can go to also get recipes and cooking, because once I went vegan, when you're aware of what's happening with the horrors of the animals, it can be very traumatizing. And so I started to cook, because I didn't know how to cook vegan and I needed to eat. And I was afraid to go out to eat because I was such a, you know, I had such a reputation. So cooking has become a part of my well-being. It soothes me because of all that I have to deal with as an activist. So
yes.
There's lots of recipes there that are fun and easy and cool. And there's all kinds of information, a lot of inspiration. And it really does overlap. And so they can go to, as for coaching, as a success catalyst, DaniRukin.com, DaniRukin. .com, and I do complimentary consultations for people who are interested in, you know, what it is they want more of or what it is they want less of, you know, getting from where they are now to where they want to be. And they also can go to my DaniRukin.com, and if they put their email in for my newsletter, which has
they
gone
can sign
well,
up for
will,
your newsletter. Yes, I did that last night.
They can
in
sign
fact.
Up for that, and then they can, oh cool, then they can get the free, the 5 daily habits to F the fear and have a great year, and the 2 second synopsis of that. It's about setting, you know, really setting the tone of your day when you wake up in the morning, having a morning practice, and then having, you know, a commitment throughout the day once you've really connected with yourself, because there's so much out there and, you know, everybody's wearing the badge of I'm busy, and there's so much flurry going on that, you know, it really is a way to ground yourself and get centered and stay connected to what, you know, you're committed to, bigger picture, and stay in action around those things and stay productive and joy-filled and, you know, and face whatever, you know, obstacles come your way and challenges. And then, of course, at the end of the day, you know, really, I can't say enough about gratitude and appreciation. And I hope we get to talk more about that next time we meet.
I appreciate you coming on my show. Thank you so much, Danny. And we'll schedule for the next episode.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You are a powerful listener, because I'm a talker, but man, you just like, wow, you just really held the space. So thank you, powerful
listener. Thank you. I love synthesizing information. My pleasure. Bye, Danny.
Okay. Take care. Bye, Lisa.
You too. That concludes our show today with Danny Rukin of DannyRukin.com. Join me next week for another episode, and have a fantastic week.